Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
At some point, if they give back, they give back. If they don't, suffice it unto me that I was able to give. Because it's the loving that does that, not me. And the loving is what I want to have. And so I say, you have your way and I'll follow. Now, has it led me astray? Often. Often. Did I love it? Absolutely. I'd like to have been led astray more often than a few occurrences. Just the other person didn't want to. Is it sad? Yeah, sometimes you go, yeah, it's nostalgia. Do I live there? No, because the baby cries. That brings you back to a real functional reality. Sometimes a husband complains, sometimes a wife complains. These things come back at us. If we move to them, we're being authentic in our expression, whatever our expression is. Even if it's a yell or a laugh, it comes as authentic, and we say, that's real. That realness is very, very important, and if you don't have that in your relationship, even a husband who yells at his wife because he really god-awful cares is an authentic expression of a human being. And if she moves into what that caring and yelling is about, he immediately moves to chortling, loving, and caring. Then men, feeling that they need to be accepted, want to have the woman to accept them into their body. If she does that, he then says, I know you do love me, and went past what I said. Therefore, I know you do love me, and here's money. Isn't that true, though? See, because men work hard for their money. And if women understand the way that they look and approach it, I tell you the thing that men do far too often that women don't appreciate, and that is that they come up with an image, and they project from them this image of all the things that they are intuitively picking up that this woman wants to see. And she goes, oh yeah, and then she comes and leans against it, but she pierces through it because it's not real. It's a facade or front. And so after she pierces a few, she says, no, that's not, you know, it's like you lied, you this, you that. And he's saying, no, you're kidding. That really is part of me. I just put it out there because I didn't want this part hurt. I want to see how you'd react to that. And if you really embrace this part, if you really could embrace it and go to it, I would then bring you back in into the heart part of it. Women often don't want to see that because they feel hurt that you weren't just honest with them. Now, I think it's nice to be honest with women. I have no question about that. I'm not too sure that women want you to be honest with them because the way they treat men when men have been honest with them. For instance, guy goes out and has an affair with somebody else. He comes home, his wife says, have you been having an affair with somebody else? And he goes, well, I want to be honest with her. So he says, yes. She says, we're getting a divorce. So he goes, I shouldn't have been honest. They divorce, he gets married. He goes out with another woman, has an affair, he comes home, she's been having an affair, and he goes, no. She says, don't lie to me. Because you're a liar, I'm leaving. Now that's called karma, do you understand that? And when these karmic things are working, you just stand there and you scratch your head and you go, if I do, I'm dead, if I don't, I'm dead. And if I don't do either one of them, I'm still dead, so I'm dead, 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 I'm gonna do. And so you do and you keep hoping for the best. The only problem we have is when, after we reach a certain age and we understand our mortality. Like when you hit 40, right around there at the middle age crisis, really is a person coming to grips with their mortality. When you're 29, 30, you're immortal. You look ahead in the future and you see yourself living forever. You hit 40 to 45, you look ahead and you go, I can see 50. That's just 10 years from now. You look back and you go, I can see 40 years of things that I could have done a lot differently, so when I get to this point, I could be looking at 90 with a lot of comfort. But I don't know if I want to live that long. I don't want to die. Now mortality and immortality is fighting itself, the warring of the flesh and the spirit. And it does war in every one of us. And if the spirit wins, it produces terror in us and the fear of death. If the spirit wins, then it produces eternal life and the feeling of God's goodness. But when we're young, see, almost in every church in the country, you're going to find, if not a majority, a great plurality of most of the people, if they're still alive, 60 and above. When you get 70, 80, 90, you'll see them in church. Why? They're going to die. They're bargaining. God, if I come to church every day till I die, will I, you let me die okay? Will I go to heaven? Will I, can I be with you? The preacher goes, yes, that's all true. They die? Who knows? Somebody in the intelligence system goes, preacher, how do you know that? He goes, it says here in the book. She says, I read the book. Well, you have to read it from my denominational point of view. Well, what you're saying is some guy back there produced an opinion, a lot of people adopted it, now it's a sect, and you're still listening to a man's point of view because people are interpreting it. If that's true, then why don't we just all interpret anyway? And if we interpret anyway, all we're hoping for is somebody to go along with the interpretation. So when you have a point of view in your mind and you don't know if it's real or not and you produce it and it goes into business and you're successful, that worked. Everybody goes, great. So one of the great successes in our country is make a lot of money. You make a lot of money, everybody loves you, you're a success. You make it bad, they look at you. If you get caught, they throw you in jail. What's the problem? You got caught. That's the modern ethic. But there's a universal ethic called thou shalt not steal. And doing that is an ethic of God. And we have to learn what is the difference in the ethic of man, of our society, and of God. Once we live to the ethic of God, we're entering the kingdom of heaven. The abundance pours upon us. We may not get another dollar in our wallet. It's just everything is coming free. And we don't need that. The same thing when you have it in your mind about a certain girl, a certain way that to be, and you do that, and she doesn't go along with it. She just didn't buy your opinion like some people don't buy other church denominations' opinions. And it must be looked at almost with that same regard. She didn't like what I was selling. You turn around, start down the street, and you go, here it is, here it is, here it is. Someone comes up and says, here's what? You tell them, they go, oh, I like that. They hang around, you have it in blue, you go, no, and they go, bye, and they're gone. So you get a blue, and you go, here it is, and I have it in blue. Somebody comes up and says, what size? 14? No, I'm a 10. Sorry. You go, I get a 10 in blue. Pretty soon, all you're doing is doing things to please other people and not pleasing yourself in your presentation. That's usually when we start to hurt and feel like we haven't lived our life. We've lived an image life. Of what do they want to see life? We wear power ties. We hang out in the right bars. We go to the right clubs. Every of those people die. You look around and say, oh, I did all the things right and everybody dies. And the question is, are you wealthy? You go, I got millions of dollars. Right, now that's money. Are you wealthy? What's the other things? Loving, caring, sharing, happiness, prosperity. Do you share? No. Then you're vacant and dead. This is why wealth, you know, to me, the only wealth really worth having is health. Why? Well, I've dealt with the issue now since 88. And I pursued it, and I pursue it all the time. I'm getting on top of it. But I'll probably die healthy. Because you have to understand, everybody dies. So if something dies that I'm doing, should I feel any worse as that when I die in my doing? No. Why? Because those things happen. When this workshop comes to an end today, is it today? Ipso facto, it's dead. No longer goes on. You will take from it what is living and make it live inside of you as much as we take memories from the dead and live inside of them. My memory of my mother and father is alive inside of me. They're dead. This will be dead. You understand that? But it doesn't mean that it's over. So dead to me isn't over as much as it's an ending process. So if somebody's with me or they're not with me, if your girlfriend's with you or she leaves, it's dead. But it should be given the same regard as anything else that dies. and it is the newness of challenge. I understand that there's a code of ethic in our society that says marry one woman, settle down, raise many children, teach them how to live life, love God, and nothing said about the happiness of the person who is doing this. And I tell people, if you're married and it's hell and it's bad and the kids are not prospering by it, have the wit to get out of that. Am I for divorces? No, I am for happiness. And sometimes getting rid of something is the way to get to happiness. And I say, have the wit to do it. Is there any guarantee the next one will be happy? I have a friend that's married the same type of woman 4 times. Is he happy with the one he's got now? Not really, but he says it's safe sex. He says, you don't know what you'll get out there with somebody else. Is he happy with that? Yes. But could he be happier with somebody else? He says there's better sex with the other women that he was with. Is he in a dilemma? Yeah. What do you do? Don't live by him because he'll trap you in the dilemma. Keep him away. Go live your dilemma over there. Do you still love him and care for him? Sure. Talk to him on the phone. See him once in a while. Visit once in a while. Just enough that you get to share the good. When they start to share the bad, you have to go. These are, you know, people understand these are just factors of life, and there's not been a good or a bad on any of this. These things go on. And to take good or bad is to say, I know really what's going on for all these people and what's really best for them, when in truth I don't. And so therefore I do what I know is best for me as much as I can know that it's best for me. And shall I spend $150 or $200 for a wealth and higher consciousness workshop? What will I get out of it? I don't know. What will you put into it? Well, I'm putting $150 into it. Then keep awake. Some of you may have heard something shared with somebody that said, that was more valuable than everything else. Oh my God, I don't know the untold millions of value that is to me. I would have paid a lot of money to have heard that, to get what I got. That's wealth. There's no promise to anybody on the planet. There are implications from the spirit that man is to have joy and have it more abundantly. But there's also in the spirit the whole sense, a concept of balance in what you're doing. To enjoy what you've got while you're looking at what you're after. That to me is wise. To enjoy the girl you've got while you're looking for the relationship you're after. Act as if the one you've got is the one you're after. Let's just say that, for instance, I'm looking for a girl that will match me, but I really don't know who that is. But if I find her and she matches me, I know that I will have found my match. Do you people understand the ground rule here? So what I'd better do if I want her is not fly the British flag or the Canadian flag, or the Argentinian flag, or I mean, whatever flag I think she is, the best thing I better do is fly the Jolly Roger. And when she sees the flag, she's going to recognize it and come sailing in, and I've now gotten through all the morass of other people that I'm going to have to go through by flying the flag of reality of who I am. And then she comes closer and sees it and sees down the mast and says, ah, well, eyes wrong color, but let's see if you really are a Jolly Roger. And if I am authentic in my expression, she'll say, great, and we're matched. Now, does that mean there's going to be difficulty? Ships at sea have difficulty. And if not, there's always the potential you'll sink. And if not, there's always the thought about it. And there's always looking for land and for new horizons. But at least you're on the same boat. And so you're going, see, if love is looking at each other, we're dead. Because that doesn't work. Love is looking in the same direction. True, authentic love is that the Spirit of God and the direction towards God, as we both have defined it and philosophically realized it. And if it splits us off, then that still may be the same direction, but you can't walk them both, so you choose the one that is more authentic to your expression. It's quite simple inside of me. It's very simple. And since it is, it matters very little to me who is here doing this or who isn't here doing this. Because I have inside of me that what they're doing is what they're doing based upon their karma. And I could say, that's going to lead you into a lot of hell, and I can see how you can skirt it. Nevertheless, that hell may be what they have to do. This is very hard to do. If you're saying, well, I'm a traveling salesman and I travel around a lot and I'm not married, so I don't really have to be loyal. I have the fidelity, so I'd like to have a woman in every port. So have a lot of flags. I mean, it's a technique. Is that a bad thing to do? No. You're saying that I want a woman in every port and I travel a lot. Say, fine. Or you can just have a white flag and just keep surrendering. You may want a woman who doesn't want you to surrender, but she'll think, well, you surrender, so pass on you. And you're going, that's who I want. Had I flown the flag of overtaking and conquering, she might have said, that's what I want, and that's what you want, and it works. You know, it's like the marriage of the sadist and the masochist. She says, beat me, and he says, I won't do it. Psychological joke. It'll take a while. If we have denied ourselves the inner part of us and the consciousness that speaks inside and says things we don't want to hear, if we've denied that and not accepted as being also a part of us, the multifaceted parts of God, then that part is being repressed. The repression of it is not the elimination of it. It is the lack of acknowledgement of it, and it will still push and control us from the depths of the unconscious, more so than if we were to consciously raise it and make it a partner in whatever we're doing. In that part of it trying to get us to know that's there, it may produce lack of energy flows, which sets the body up for diseases or imbalances. And in that, the lack of wealth of the spirit and the great unconsciousness part of us then sets us up of a poverty of disease. So it would be important then if we have and I'm talking now about any illness and every illness, not just those that might stem from psychological things, because as far as I can tell, all illness, even those that are pathological and cuts and bruises and dislocations, all stem from energy flow blockages or lack of utilizing the energy efficiently that you have. So you understand I'm making a big statement here that the way we get that is not necessarily through our own mind and emotions, because we understand the finiteness of that, because we'll block on information, I can't learn anymore. We'll be so emotionally distraught we can't take another thing, and physically we get so tired we fall asleep. So it's not in that area that I'm referring to. I'm referring to the unconscious part of us that is the kingdom of God. And how do we get access to the portals of that, have it open up? We must go to the guardian at the gate, which is an enemy, and abundantly love that and bring it forward and let it dance with us. And by dancing it, we open the door to the kingdom. Up comes the energy. That energy then is dispersed through our consciousness to heal our body. And so our work is cut out for us. To thine own self be true, and seek first the kingdom of God, and find the trueness to yourself. In that, we're being given by all the oracles, metaphysicians, rishis, Hindu masters, great saints, saviors, and avatars of the past, was always to come to that. If you can come to that by going through that, then do that also. So we're not just saying, go dig a hole in a cave in your backyard and put in a drop hole toilet and have some water coming in and then just meditate there for all the rest of your life. Because we understand the use of energy is the using of yourself so the energy can come through. And if we do not use ourselves, and that means into an abundance, not into a regretting that we did even just that much. You know, one time I gave $5 to a guy. He was sitting down, and he was pretending like he was blind. Well, I don't know if he was or he wasn't, and I can't say he was, but pretending. And I gave him $5. And I dropped it as a $5 bill into his can. And I walked down the street, and I was about halfway down there. And I felt so shitty about giving that guy $5 that I went back and gave him 20 more. And upon that, I felt so grateful that I gave to him, not because he was pretending to be blind, But I had more to give than I gave, and I was really cheating him by giving. I would have been better to give him nothing and felt nothing than to give him the five and walk away with regret of having done that. And so maybe 10 would have done it, maybe 15 would have done it, but I didn't want to keep going up and down that street giving him $5 bills. I cut the tail off where I think it should be cut. And having given him that other, the $20 bill, he got 25 out of me. I walked down the street, and it's been such a, and that person's been a reference point inside of me of my just unconditional giving. Can I give unconditionally? Yeah, I can. But what was the condition I got out of it? It wasn't unconditional. I gave to get rid of the shitty, guilty, upset feeling that I knew I had cheated. And that guilt became a guardian angel for me. And I go, thank God for that guilt, because when I'm not going to do it right, it goes up and says, you're going to feel shitty and guilty. Now, guilt to me isn't a bad thing. That's okay. That's okay for me to feel that, because it says, here's what you must do to correct. And the correction brings about the resurrection of consciousness. And that's just wonderful. I go, wow. And I consequently give money to people. But when I see them begging, I don't give based upon their begging request. Never. If I only had 50 cents and that's what I gave, it would be clean giving. Boom. Do I want anything in return? No. What I do want is not to feel guilty. So now the giving is unconditional. I give it. And I don't think, now, did I give enough? I won't feel guilty, because that's conditioning it. I'm past that now. I've given enough on that where I now just give to give. And that giving, I can give $100 here, and I'm going to walk home and somebody's giving me $1,000. I've had that happen so many times. I'll walk into a training room like this, and somebody will come up and they'll go like this and put some money in my hand or put it in my pocket. And I don't pay attention. I just take it and put it in my pocket, and I go home, take stuff, and I go, where'd I get this money? I don't know who gave it to me. So I just put an envelope sent to the church, showed up here. I often thought somebody thinks that they're putting money in their own pocket and they're putting it in mine. And I would... Once you start to give, and this is the key, people say, well, you're just doing it to get well. I have a vow of poverty. Listen, when this comes to me, it just goes right through to the church. I don't have time for that. And it goes to a lot of people. Yeah, if I took a salary, everything that came in, I'd be worth millions and millions of dollars. But I might be very poor in spirit. And I'd rather have what I got than all the money they got. Because this can't be touched. Because I've seen people try to do it and they can't. But it's the willingness to give it all to get some of it. And it makes sense to seek first the kingdom of heaven and all the rest is added. But the neat thing that the addition is I don't have to pay the upkeep or the tax or repairs or the insurance on any of it. I just get to enjoy it. Somebody said, why don't you buy your own jet? I said, you got to be kidding. I ride on commercial jets. Just get off, walk away, and I don't have to gas them, pay landing fees. I just get off and go. I just find out where they're going, when, and I get on and go. Who wants something private to worry about? Not me. No way. That's why I'd rather do taxis. Get in the taxis, go, take me here. They go, got it. And I sit back and daydream. I get in a taxi here and I go, where's the mountains? Why? I got to have a mountain to know north, south, east, or west. They go, this is flat. And I go, get out of there. Hey, I don't know where I'm going. But I keep this upflow of energy by the mere process of sharing whatever it is that comes in. Share joy, share information, share caring. I share hurt when people are upset. I'll go and share with them. I can feel they're upset and they're hurt. But the only thing is if I take it on me and they haven't let go, then I'm the jackass instead of them. Somebody better stay clear of the asses so somebody can know how to get out of there. I want you to know how far I go to make things work. Consequently, they do work. But not because I'm pushing or prodding or none of that. It's so easy. It's effortless. It's like when I get through here, I'll walk to the next thing. When I get out that door, I don't remember what we've talked about. It's all on tape someplace. If I want to know, I'll listen back to it. Somebody will tell me. Or I can come back in my mind to this place, access it, and pull the information forward and redo it again, almost word for word. I don't because it's boring, because once I start, I got to do all of it. I said, and then they said this, da, 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 and then I said, da, 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 and then they said, da, 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 and 2 hours later, I haven't gone anywhere, and I've now finished that episode. It's just, I don't prove anything to me. That's a waste of everything to prove it. I just do it. The doing it proves it, or the doing of it disproves it. I don't do it. Do you understand that? A long time ago, I was not feeling well and went to a minister. And he said, come back to it. They're going to have a prayer meeting, laying on hands. And he came back in and he said, what is it you want to have worked on? And I told him, wasn't much of anything. And they started praying. And one of them said, you will receive your healing and you must change your way of living. I thought, I'm not going to change my way of living to please this person saying you got to change your way of living. So I said, fine. But just in a matter of hours, the whole thing was gone out of my system. And I took off right back to the place where I got it. And there it was waiting. And I started in the door. I go, oh, what they're saying is don't go do that same thing that made you sick the first time. And I changed it right on the spot. Not because of what they said, but you can be healed of it and go right back into it if you're going to be stupid. If I'm stupid, I got sick again. I went there to get over sick. That was the last thing I could have tried. I tried all the doctors, everybody. It was like, now I'm trying the wooga wooga stuff. It worked. That's why I'm in the business. But I'm in good company because everybody here is in the same business too. We want a good material life. We want the spiritual to match it. Seek first the spirit and bring it into what you do. And if you're not smart, ask others. That's it.
Beirut Beishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirut Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.